What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 116 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the king of the courtside, Joey. Joey, were you brave enough to go outside today after that massive snowstorm we had?
I did not today, but I did yesterday.
Oh, well, I'm assuming you had the day off from work?
I did.
I did not. I still had to work today. hey, the roads are good, so it looks like you'll be back to work tomorrow with no problem, Joey.
I will. Yeah, I didn't have my full-time job today, but I did do quite a bit of OTN stuff, so some exciting stuff coming to you guys soon.
Yeah, I did get that propaganda email on my phone earlier today. Nation, head on over to Twitter. Give Joey a follow. Follow him at Courtside King. While you're at it, give me a follow as well. That's at Fiasco. If you're joining us here live on Twitch, welcome to episode 116. You can find those usernames below the mugshot that you're watching right now. Find us on the Twitterverse. And if you're listening on our podcast later on down the road, they will be in the show notes for you below. Nation, it's Fashion Week in esports, and another esports team inks a deal with a sneaker company. I have a feeling some league players are going to be looking pretty fly in their new kicks come spring LCS split. Joey, what esports shoes do you have on? And after that, what else are we talking about on 116?
John, we have quite a bit going on here. A lot of roster moves, a lot of people switching rosters, as well as many new players coming in, including all of the EMLS players being announced. In addition to that, we have a lot of cool new partnerships, especially with the newly rebranded League of Legends leagues in the LEC and LCS. And we have so much news in esports, John. We haven't done this in 2 weeks because of last week's episode and then some changeover of schedules, so we are back with a ton of topics on the slate.
You didn't answer the first question, though. I need to know what esports shoes you have on.
I am wearing some bear paw slippers right now.
That is not... You know what? We're going to leave it there. We're just going to leave it there for that. Joey, for the 116th time, it's time for that beloved part of the podcast. It is the... It is time for the drink of choice. Apparently, I've had too much already. Joey, for the 116th time, sir, I need your beverage for this episode.
John, I am drinking some Woodford Reserve bourbon tonight.
Oh, wow.
Nice little glass of bourbon.
Look at you being... Oh, you know, it's funny, because if you're watching on Twitch, you notice how to like look off to the side to see Joey, because that's where his mugshot is. But that is classy, sir. You know what? I'm proud of you. You're upgrading, and I'm very proud of that. That is very classy with you.
Upgrading.
Yeah, upgrading. Yeah, you know, not all of us can be classy enough to be rocking the Crown Royale again with some Coke Zero because, you know, you got to be somewhat healthy when you drink alcohol. Joey, enough of the alcohol, enough of the shenanigans. Let's waste no more time. Let's jump right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
First, John, I have to say, when we talk esports shoes, I feel like slippers have to be considered here.
You know,
you're sitting at a PC for most of the day. I feel like slippers are the way to go.
Now, I am also rocking slippers as we're recording this, so I cannot really fault you for that. They are a very smart choice, especially on the weekend when it's nice and cold and it's snowing outside. Why are you going to wear your normal shoes? You have slippers on. This is a great time for someone in the slipper market to really promote esports slippers because you want to know something? I would probably buy it. Why? Well, because it's esports. That's why. It's crazy. Don't judge me. I see you there with your judgmental face. Don't do it. Not nice.
With that, let's head on into roster industry acquisitions and departures, kicking off with one of those departures in the Rocket League Championship Series. Former Evil Genius player Reed Chicago Willen is headed to G2 Esports. EG will keep Corrupted G and Classics in search for their third member still. In turn for G2, they will be losing team captain Kronovi as he departs on his way to Rogue. John, some big moves here in particular. I got to stick with the Kronovi move, though. This is the team captain for G2 for so many years. He's led them to so much success. Now moving on to a newer organization in terms of Rocket League in Rogue, an organization that's continued to make their waves in many, many different esports, now having an LEC team as well for League of Legends. Rocket League now in their arsenal, and they bring in team captain Kronovi, a huge addition.
And not just that, Kronovi was really the face of G2 Rocket League. He has such a following, not just in Rocket League, but like when he streams, like he is by far the top streamer, one of the top streamers for Rocket League. He has a huge, huge following. He's one of those players, kind of like what we see with Double Lift. He has a huge following of people that really support him as an esport athlete, as a personality when he streams it. When he moves teams, those fans go with him. You saw it when Double Lift went from CLG to TSM, and then now TSM to Team Liquid. They all followed him. Same thing here with Kronovi. You're going to be seeing a lot of these G2 fans that are huge Kronovi fans make that move with them over to Rogue. So, you know, that's a really gutsy move for G2 Esports, sending Kronovi departing G2, going over to Rogue. They're going to be losing a lot of fans because Kronovi just has that kind of personality, that kind of impact in the Rocket League scene. That's a huge move.
Not only that, but also the experience he brings to the table. Being at so many world championships before, being with multiple different teammates throughout his years, he's really built up an arsenal of how to be a captain, in a sense. We've seen him do it on so many different stages in so many different teams as far as the team members go, and we know he can translate that to other teams, and I think he'll do a great job with Rogue here. Fortnite, we have another player being cut from Fortnite. This is 100 Thieves parting ways with Risker. John, it seems like these are every week at this point. We see Fortnite players getting cut, and I have to think that most of this comes from Epic Games and the way they're supporting it as an esport. Again, it feels like they're just throwing cash. They're not really organizing it for the good of the organization. So if you're an organization looking to buy a Fortnite player, yes, you have a chance of those cash pools, but it feels like you're almost signing them more to be a streamer than anything else at this point.
Pretty much. I mean, the entire scene for Fortnite is so disorganized, and it really is such a shame because there's so much potential there. If you're a Fortnite fan and you want to see Fortnite grow into that esports scene, it has the numbers, it has the fandom, it has the following. For some reason, Epic cannot figure out the esports scene. Some argue they really don't want to figure out the esports scene. So moves like this, you know, it's unfortunate for these players that are striving to live their esport dream. They want to become a pro player. They want to live their dream of playing professional video games for a portion of their life. And they thought they made it. And now we're seeing these teams realize, hey, look, the scene hasn't developed quite the way we thought it would. And we can't really justify throwing all this money when there's no set rules, there's no set league, there's no set anything when it comes to Fortnite esports. I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for the organizations that believe in what the scene can be. I don't feel bad for Epic because I really feel like they're the ones screwing the pooch at the end of the day when it comes to handling their esports scene. And it really is a travesty on their part for just completely mishandling the whole situation.
Yeah, I feel like Fortnite is doing too well, in a sense, as far as the game itself. Because it continues to pull in so much money for Epic Games, they don't feel like anything needs to be fixed. But when you look at all the potential they're missing out on partnering with these esports organizations, they could almost triple to quadruple their profit, in a sense. If you pull in these organizations with all their hundreds of thousands to millions of followers, there's so much more marketing that can be done. And if they're just signing streamers, it doesn't feel like they're fully buying into that partnership. Clash Royale League, some cuts in this one as well. Juicy J and Aziliz will be stepping down from Team Liquid's CRL roster. This is another one we've seen quite a few step downs from. Organizations thought a lot about this Clash Royale League going into the mobile esports realm. Unfortunately, it just has not panned out from day one. So much potential on the board, but Clash Royale and Supercell have not been able to capitalize on it, and we're seeing organizations start to step back from this league pretty quickly.
You know, and this was another thing, another esport league, a one that's newer on the scene that had a lot of potential and had a lot of hype around, and just kind of fell flat. I mean, Joey, you and I both watched the opening night of this league, and we were pretty critical on the production and just the quality and the overall entertainment value of what we were being shown. I don't think we've ever returned to it ever since. You know, have they made strides since the first night? I'm gonna have to say yes. I don't think any organization, any esport league is going to go in, nail it on the first night, figure out, hey, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to stick to it. We're not going to make any changes. Obviously, they're going to make changes. But this is another league that just feels like they're missing something. There's something missing to really make this league great, to make this title a great mobile esport title. So it is sad, again, to even see this in the Clash Royale scene. Players stepping down from rosters, leaving the scene altogether, just because there really isn't any traction there.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the part of Supercell as far as the esports league goes. Changing the screen from vertical and horizontal is one thing to look at, but on top of that, they need to find it better for casual players. League of Legends, for example. I started following the esports scene, I think, before I even played the game itself, because it was attractive, it was well done, it was really well produced. I don't feel the same with Clash Royale. I feel like you're only marketing to the people who are playing now, and you're not doing a good enough job of that to make them turn over. If you add maybe some in-game accessories, in-game loot, some kind of thing like that to draw in those players that are already playing, I think that's a good idea. But you also have to find a strategy to reach out to the people who are not playing Clash Royale, to reach out to Fiasco, who has no interest in playing Clash Royale. How do you pull him in as a viewer? And that question they cannot answer yet.
Neither can Fiasco.
He's still waiting for that clause, you know?
Still waiting.
We'll see what happens. Team Vitality, we're going to move from departures to arrivals. Let's talk some exciting news here. Team Vitality has finalized the Rainbow Six Siege roster for 2019. We have RXWD off, Sneaky, Bibu, Brid, and Spark coming in for that Team Vitality team. Rainbow Six, John, is one of those scenes that is doing extremely well. When we look at Fortnite, they're doing well as a game. They're struggling on the esports side. You look at a lot of these games, they're doing well on one or the other. Rainbow Six seems to be doing both right now. They started out as a successful game, and I don't even feel like they had a complete hope for esports at the beginning. But since then, it's picked up such a devoted following that they've invested in esports. They've continued to grow that scene. They already have crowdfunding, and it's just a few seasons in. Rainbow Six seems to be making all the moves that esports should be making. And here we have another big, talented organization buying into it with hopeful success on the horizon, because we've already seen success from multiple organizations so far.
Yeah, really, when it comes to the first-person shooter market for esports, Rainbow Six and CSGO really have a stranglehold on that market. Rainbow Six being the newcomer, if you will, to the FPS esports scene. And they've been doing everything right. As soon as the scene started getting traction and everything, the first thing they did is they released organization skins in-game. Smart move. That's the way you build fans. That's the way you get someone like a Courtside King who was watching League of Legends before he started playing it to invest into the game even more. It's a great way to bring more people to the game. Rainbow Six really has been clicking on all cylinders going forward, and you have to applaud them. They're doing it right. So there's some other leagues out there, Fortnite, that could really take a page out of how Rainbow Six is developing their scene in esports and to really make a splash and to make a name for themselves going forward.
And we seriously can't say enough about the crowdfunding. The fact that we have seen organizations and games like League of Legends take so long to go to crowdfunding. Dota 2 has made a huge name on it, but not many esports titles have adopted it. Rainbow Six here, they're selling skins, they're selling gun skins, they're selling charms. All of these different things are going to the prize pool or going to the team that they represent. The fact that they're doing this so early on in their esports life is huge. I don't think that can be emphasized enough. And again, as you and I say so constantly, John, I hope more and more esports look to crowdfunding. I have no problem paying for a skin, paying for a chain, a charm, an icon to represent a team. I think that's a great way to give back to that team, a great way to crowdfund for a prize pool. I hope we see it more in esports because I think it's a brilliant idea to activate the audience and activate the crowd playing your game.
And in all honesty, to prove that point that Joey just said here, take a look at League of Legends' this past Worlds. They had that Kha'Zix package where you got the champion, you got this skin that was based on the colors of whatever organization you bought it for, a frame, a golden emote for in-game. And it was like almost like a 4,000 Riot Point package. And it was offered in gold, silver, and bronze tier. And like, you know, the more you paid, the more cool stuff you got out of it. And, you know, the more exclusiveness that you got from it. I'm sitting here going, you know, as a Cloud9 fan, going, you know what, I'll buy the bronze package. It was like, you know, 900 Riot Points. I'm like, okay, you know what, that's a fair amount for what I'm getting. I have no desire to buy the gold package. 2 weeks later, what did I do? I bought the gold package. Why? Cloud9 was doing great. I was excited about what they were doing. I said, you know what? They deserve the money. It makes no sense to me. They're a multi-million dollar organization. But that's how it works. People, fans, have no problem paying a little bit more down the road if it means they can identify with their team even more. I don't play Kha'Zix at all. And I now have his awesome Cloud9 skin in-game. That's how it works. That's what League of Legends is doing. That's what League of Legends needs to do more of. That's what Rainbow Six has been doing, and they've been excelling at it, along with Dota 2 up there as well.
I think it's great you bought that skin, John. I personally don't. There's no way I'm playing Kha'Zix in the near future. Exactly. So if I'm Riot Games, for example, I think you support more people. Why not put a few champions from each lane? Why not do 5 or 6 champions and give some ability for people to get it? Then you do a bigger pack for like $60 or $75 where everyone can buy all of the champions if they really care so. But that way you hit the supports, you hit the jungles, you hit the mid lanes. Give a little bit of variety. Let people buy in. Right now with Kha'Zix, you don't see him in any other lane except jungle, unless you're crazy and you play him in some crazy position because you're wacko. Sorry, people, if you do. But you get my drift here. You're going with a champion that's only in the jungle. You pick someone like Morgana, for example, she can be played in four different roles. Why don't you pick someone with more flexibility than a Kha'Zix? I love Kha'Zix. I think he's fun to watch. I'm not going to play him, and I'm not going to pay for a skin for him. But if you give me someone else who has more flexibility, I definitely pay for that skin. I want to support Fnatic. I want to support League of Legends. Just, I wish they would think it through a little bit more. With Dota, I feel like they give a lot more content with their content creator passes, and they're sending out these battle passes. People are willing to pay for it. I feel like League of Legends handicaps themselves a bit, and I think they're making progress. But if you give a bit more variety there, I think you make a whole lot more money.
One thing I love that Dota 2 does, I wish League did, was the release announcer packs. Now, I know for a while they had Freak and like his shoutcasting-esque version of the in-game announcer in there. Some people loved it, some people hated it. Personally, I liked it. It was a switch of pace. It was something different. Why not do that? Why not have, you know, a Captain Flowers voice pack? Why not have, you know, Kobe up there with his voice pack up there? You know, charge 300 riot points for it, and it's in-game content, you know, specialized for you. People would do it to make it feel a little bit different, or to make it feel like they're in the pro scene a little bit, like someone's actually shoutcasting their game, because it's completely different from what the in-game announcer says. You know, it's, oh, pentakill. Okay, that sounds cool and everything. But when, you know, Freak shouts pentakill and his voice cracks like he did on Hooney's pentakill a couple years ago.
The quadrakill. I think it was a quadra.
Quadrakill, whatever. But it was just like, is essentially what happened. You know, people loved it. It was great. It still lives on in internet history and infamy, really, if you want to go down that road. But it's cool. People like it. Do more stuff like that. Do more. Give back to the fans. Fans will buy the content. We've seen it with Fortnite. You know, a 2,000 V-Bucks skin, which is roughly $20 US right now, for 2,000 V-Bucks, $20 US, kids are buying that skin. They're getting money from their parents and buying that skin. Are you going to sit here and tell me that a game like League of Legends or Rainbow Six or anyone else can't do the same thing? Now, I'm not advocating for $20 skins. I think it's a little ridiculous, personally. But as someone who has no problem spending a little extra here and there on these games, why not do something like that? People want more content. And for a repetitive game like League of Legends, where it's always 5v5 on Summoner's Rift, why not tweak it up just a little bit? Food for thought.
Yeah, I think one of the arguments we're going to have here is the fact that then it kind of encroaches on World's winner skins. But at the same point, I feel like you can argue that they can be done differently. Like, you look at the way they did the SKT ones a couple years ago, how they did the signatures. I believe Samsung Galaxy got the signatures done as well. I feel like if you add the signatures to recalls, you add some little fun animation that's only for that champion, that is enough to make the World skin, in my opinion. Plus, they all click together in that sense. So I think you could go back to the earlier seasons, maybe add that stuff in, and then you're good to go. That allows you to add more skins for other teams within the game. Maybe you don't make them as fancy. Maybe they're a little bit more of just a recolor for Cloud9, a recolor for Fnatic. I just feel like there's so much more potential here, both for Riot Games to make money, the organizations to make money, the players to make money, and just everyone to buy more into it, to invest more into this game and into the esports pro scene. So I think there's a lot of food for thought here at Riot Games. You're welcome to contact us at OTN Media here, or at the Level Up Podcast, but we will hit those at the end of the show. John, let's move on. Worlds 2018 runner-up Fnatic, this is for their League of Legends team, has finalized their team management for the 2019 season. Young Buck, the director of League of Legends over there, has moved over to head coach, as he was a head coach previously with G2 Esports. He's decided, since he knows the players there, at least four out of the five, he's going to move to that head coaching role, as it'll be a smooth transition. Mephisto is adding himself as the assistant coach, coming in from a different organization. And we have Carrion switching over from the Heroes of the Storm team as the new team director for League of Legends. And Gejimont coming in as the head analyst. John, this is your runner-up Worlds 2018 team, now with a very new-looking frontline staff.
A new staff, but a staff that is proven. A staff that has been around the scene. A staff that understands what's going on in the scene and how the scene's developing. I like this move for Fnatic. A lot of familiar faces in here. As an organization, Fnatic can really do no wrong. They've hit the ground running in every season. Maybe they have a little slow start in spring when they make major roster changes. That's to be expected. But Fnatic really understands what they're doing. I feel like if there's one organization in the world that understands how to fix a team, if there is something to fix, or bring a team together to unite them going forward, whether it's players, whether it's coaching, whether it's front office, they do it. They know what they're doing. And you saw it last year when they went all the way to the finals of League of Legends Worlds, finishing in second place in the world. That alone tells you Fnatic knows what they're doing going forward. So great moves. I love the Young Buck move. I think he's a solid, proven veteran in the scene, and I think it's going to do well for Fnatic.
Yeah, and not to say Fnatic is not flawless. They've obviously had some questionable moves in the past. They brought in a high-profile jungler in Spirit, but unfortunately the language barrier as well as the play style didn't click. We saw some issues with Nico the Pico as a coach previously as well. So it's not like Fnatic hasn't had bad iterations, but overall, like John said, they are bringing in very talented people, and they're also bringing in a few unproven people, but they show a lot of potential like we've seen with their mid laners of the past. So I have high hopes for Fnatic. John, do you think they return to be runners-up of Worlds 2019?
I do not. I think the LCK returns with a vengeance this year. I think Korea is looking for revenge, and I think the Western Hemisphere is going to be the main appetizer in that feast going forward in Worlds 2019.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that as well. I feel like LCK is going to come back with a vengeance, especially SKT with Faker missing out last term. With that being said, John, I think the West finally realized that they need to play their own style. I'm hoping that mentality carries over into 2019. It forces Korea to study the West a bit more, and as opposed to just playing their own style in the East and watching these other regions try to adapt to them. So with that being said, I think Europe keeps up their challenging side, but I don't think it's enough to challenge the LCK. I think the LCK does come out on top. We'll have to wait and see what happens, though.
Yeah, I think Fnatic can make it out of groups. I think they can make the quarterfinals, depending upon their draw, because really that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. There was a very Western-friendly draw last year for Worlds. I feel like Fnatic has the opportunity to return to semis, depending upon their draw. Maybe more. Again, it really does depend upon who's in their group, how they get out of it, and so on and so forth. But I do feel like Fnatic is in a great position going forward for 2019.
And really how they replace Caps. I mean, yeah. Caps was the main carrier of that team last year. Now they have Nemesis. He doesn't play with that much of an exciting edge in a sense. He doesn't go for the crazy overkills, but he also doesn't play as risky. So it's going to be interesting to see how they integrate Nemesis into the lineup. The EMLS, John, Major League Soccer over in the United States, has launched their esports division, the EMLS. They have presented the 22 players who will represent clubs in the inaugural season of the EMLS League Series presented by PlayStation. So for the 2019 roster of the Eastern Conference, John, who do we have representing the teams?
Oh, I'm going to love this segment. So from your MLS reigning champion, Atlanta United FC, you have Rated Hugo. For the Chicago Fire, you have BitW18. For FC Cincinnati, FCC Fiddle, love that name. For the Columbus Crew, you have Crew SC Ninad. For our hometown, DC United, you have Renato, I believe his user tag is Renato GZ05. We're just going to go by Renato. And then for the Montreal Impact, this is the one I've been struggling with the entire time trying to figure out how to say his name. Is this like Lyle Smittel? Lyle Smittel, it's LYESMTL. Look him up on the Twitter. Ask him how to say his name there. For the New England Revolution, you have JKO1707. For the New York City Football Club, you have NYC_Chris. The New York Red Bull, you have Mike LaBelle. For Orlando City, you have FIFA Abe. For Philadelphia United, you have Dualsta. And rounding out the Eastern Conference for Toronto FC, PhilB94. Very solid name there. Joey, what's the Western Conference look like?
I like it. I think the Impact player's name is Lies MTL, if I had to guess. I think the MTL stands for Montreal.
That works for me. Lies MTL. That's fine.
That's just a guess, but you guys can check that and fact check us on that one. Over in the Western Conference for the 2019 roster, for Colorado Rapids, we have Buck Army, FC Dallas, Alanavi. The Houston Dynamo, Kid Mamito. For the LA Galaxy, this is a fun one. Is it Godfather or is it GG Godfather? We don't really know. Minnesota United FC, Jay Adams. The Portland Timbers, Thiago Silva. San Jose Earthquakes, or Quakes according to their badge, the Cali SCG. For the Seattle Sounders, the Mars Bars. Sporting KC, Ovo 6. And then the Vancouver Whitecaps wrapping it up with Skill Shack.
I'm sorry, Joey. I think Discord cut out there on this call. Can I get the LA Galaxy's player's name one more time, please?
Okay, I'm curious. How do you think it's pronounced? You think it's GG Godfather, or do you think it's Godfather? It's a great name either way. I mean, that thing's going to make headlines for sure.
By far, one of my favorite names in the EMLS going forward. EMLS, please hire Joey to cast or be on the analyst desk, because I have got to hear him say that name at least 20 more times in my life, and then I'll be happy.
Yeah, I don't 100% know on that one, but we'll have to wait and hear it when the real casters do it. Exciting stuff, though, John. I mean, I love the fact that the EMLS is continuing to expand. I think they have a great badge in of themselves as well. It's simple, it's clean, but it gets the job done. And now we have so many teams buying in. 22 players now represented in the EMLS. It feels like the MLS itself is starting to mirror over to the EMLS, and I love the fact that we see continued club buy-in to esports. It's continuing to be there. The MLS itself is continuing to support it, and they look like they're going to support it for the long term. So exciting stuff here on the MLS side for esports. Partnerships. We have Razer and Microsoft teaming up to deliver the world's first wireless keyboard and mouse for Xbox One, the Razer Turret. John, I know you are not the biggest fan of Razer. At the same point, take a look at this keyboard. I personally think it's clean looking. I really like the design, especially as a lap keyboard for the living room. Not only for Xbox, but I think this would be great for people who have like the almost like the Bluetooth TVs or wireless TVs with the smart TV aspect for the internet accessibility. I feel like this is one of the cleanest keyboards I've seen for that as well. So I don't know how long it'll last. I know we've had issues in the past with possibly how long Razer hardware will last. At the same point, looking at it, it looks clean. It looks like it'll get the job done.
You know, so I'm looking at it. And you know what? Compliment time. Razer, this actually looks like a decent product. I am curious to know how thick the keyboard is. It looks pretty thin from the pictures on their website. My issue is this going to be a legitimate controller for games on the Xbox? Because if it is, my issue then becomes with the mouse pad area. I really don't feel like there's enough room on that mouse pad, vertically speaking, to move that mouse around. Horizontally is fine, but I feel like, you know, they're trying to condense it. They're going for a small look here, and it makes sense. I get what they're trying to go for, but I don't know. To me, it feels like you almost have to play on a DPI setting that's a lot higher in order to take advantage of that small area to really use keyboard and mouse on a console going forward. But other than that, the product itself looks good. It actually looks like something that Apple would create. It just kind of has like that Apple-esque feel to it, just from the look. And according to their website, it's already sold out. Shocker for the price tag of $160. But it looks good. It looks smart. So kudos to Razer for actually making a product that looks good. We'll see how long it lasts.
Okay, what are your thoughts on them not going with a mechanical keyboard style, though?
Honestly, personally, in my opinion, if you're playing keyboard and mouse on console, you don't know what a mechanical keyboard is. So to me, that's not that big of a deal. If you're a PC player and you get this, I have questions for you. Some people swear by mechanicals. Other people can't tell the difference. Personally, with me, I can. And I would prefer a mechanical or even a Logitech Roamer G key over something like this. This looks like a standard laptop keyboard that was removed from the laptop. But again, I think my biggest point is if you're playing mouse and keyboard on a console, you probably don't understand the difference or the idea behind a mechanical keyboard for games. So I feel like it's decent. It's priced like a mechanical keyboard, that's for sure, if at $160 again. But I guess that's kind of where I stand, is I feel like if you're buying this for the console, you probably don't know the difference. Again, that is assuming on my part. I could be completely wrong. But then again, if you know the difference, you're probably a diehard PC gamer. So that's just where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no, I see it. I think that's a very solid move there as well. I really like this design. I'm glad Microsoft partnered up. I think it's a good idea to add keyboard as a possibility for certain games. Again, I think it comes back, and we've already had this conversation, but they need to find a way to make the lobbies not quite integrated because a keyboard and mouse is very different from controller. You'll be able to see that difference quite handily, at least from our experiences. So that's my biggest concern, but the design itself looks clean. I have to agree, John, I think a little bit more vertical space as far as the mouse pad would be nice. At the same point, I see what they're doing here. It's a slick design. It's trying to keep the same length as the keyboard. So I get it. At the same point, yeah, I think that could be the biggest issue we see with this one. Dell Alienware has joined LOL Esports as the official PC and display partner. John, I think this is a good move. Once again, Alienware, some of the top products we've ever seen in monitors as far as PCs go. They continue to put top-of-the-line stuff out. LOL Esports being a top-of-the-line esport, I think this is another great move from them, and both sides will benefit handily.
And really, when you talk about how PC manufacturers have struggled in the past 15 years, Dell is no exception to that. Dell has struggled probably more than anyone else out there. Alienware has really saved Dell's bacon when it comes to their share of the PC market. And have really pulled Dell out of the ashes. Alienware is absolutely great. Their gaming computers have been absolutely fantastic. They have been tested time and time again. They have a major partnership with Team Liquid. Their training facility is named after Alienware, and it's fully stocked with amazing Alienware products. You have no reason to doubt anything Alienware, and this is such a solid move for LOL Esports going forward because, you know, as you saw this, in different regions, you had different monitors, you had different you got different monitors and everything else that goes along with it in every region. You know, you had BenQ being used in the EU LCS, BenQ being used in the NALCS, now the LCS. You had, I believe, Zoe, which is the European counterpart in Europe, and then you had, it was all over the place. Then you see Overwatch League come in and make a deal with HP Omen. Now we're seeing that in League of Legends as well, going with Alienware. It's a solid choice, and it's all compatible, and it all works well with all the team sponsors. So no matter if you're sponsored by, you know, Logitech or HyperX or Razer or whatever peripheral else out there, Corsair, it all works together, and it's great. Alienware, solid, solid product line. It's going to make LOL Esports look even better going forward.
Yeah, like you said, BenQ and Zoe have been two we've seen quite a bit. Acer is another one who's in a lot of esports sponsoring. But I like the fact that this, like you said, John, it's not going to affect the organization's partnerships that they already have. If Fnatic wants to stay with a monitor person, they can. If Cloud9 wants to stay with a certain monitor sponsor, they can. This in and of itself is for LOL Esports competitions. So now you have the official PC and display partner coming in here in the form of Alienware. I think it's a great move for the league. And like you said, John, also unifying the league. We saw it with Overwatch League, which again is very different than League of Legends in the sense that it's worldwide, but it's its own singular league. The League of Legends with, who knows, 20, 30 different leagues out there, about 5 or 6 big official ones, but many smaller leagues as well. Now they're trying to unify all of that under one name, which I really like. The LEC, formerly EULCS, has partnered up with Kia Motors as the official automotive sponsor. And then Origin has also made an automotive sponsor in Audi. I like these moves as well, John. It's interesting to see car developers continue to come in, though. We saw Toyota with the Overwatch League. Now we have Kia Motors getting involved in LEC. Audi, they've already been involved in many different facets of esports, now adding another name under their belt with Origin. It's interesting to see these car developers come in, car sponsorships come in, because it's something that we haven't really seen in esports as much previously, and now it's coming in a huge portion of it. Looking at it overall, though, these kids have got to drive at some point, right? You have 15, 16-year-olds getting permits, getting driver's license, and most of your viewership is around that age group from probably 12 to 25. Now you have a lot of that coming in, and these car sponsors are looking at those kids in particular. What car do you want to ride? Well, hey, my team is sponsored by Kia Motors. That's the car I want to go for. So I think it's a good move by automotive manufacturers. I'm curious to see what the numbers look like as far as the turnover.
You know, and you know, to several points you made, seeing car manufacturers jump into esports, like you said, it's not unheard of. It's been done. It's been done a lot. But generally, we see that in the automotive esports scene. We see that in your NASCAR scene. You see that in your F1 and everything else that you have out there when it comes to automotive esports. But you never really saw that crossover to non-automotive esports. That's going to be a good one for the blooper reel. you just don't see it. Now, you have two very different ends of the spectrum here when it comes to these partnerships. Kia Motors Kia, coming from South Korea, a great car manufacturer, has really turned around their luck when it comes to selling in the auto market in the past 10 years. A lot of times people saw Kia as a really, cheap car that, is, literally to get you from point A to point B, and hopefully you don't get in an accident, and so on and so forth. Well, they've really stepped up their design, their safety, and everything else, and now Kia offers a fairly reliable car. And let's be real here. Kia Soul, one of the best-selling cars in the entire world, one of the most iconic cars with all their hamster dances and everything. That's a solid, solid move. A very affordable car. If you're a parent and your kid's involved in esports and they enjoy watching esports and they come to you and say, hey, mom, dad, I want a Kia Soul for my first car. You as a mom and dad are sitting there going, yes, a car that we can afford. Now, if your kid's an Origin fan, and he's being exposed to Audi. Now, look, I'm going to straight up tell you right now, 16-year-old Fiasco would love to go to his parents and be like, Mommy and Daddy Fiasco, listen, I want an Audi for my first car. Not only would they laugh at me, I would probably be grounded and probably locked away for a little bit for being too crazy. I mean, look, it's great for Origin. It's a great partnership. Audi, for a lot of their partnerships in the world, end up giving free cars to the teams they sponsor. So if you're an Origin fan, if you're an Origin player or someone who's looking for a new team, Origin's now becoming a little bit more attractive to sign with if you get that free Audi car with it. But otherwise, it's kind of a pipe dream for everyone else. I don't see 14, 15, and 16-year-olds being able to convince their parents to buy them an Audi, unless it's a used Audi from 15 years ago with over 300,000 miles on it. It's I don't see it being realistic, but it's a great partnership. I just don't feel like it's going to be as fruitful as both sides would want it to be.
Yeah, the interesting thing with the Audi partnership, so they already had a previously existing partnership with the new ownership organization of Origin, Refresh Entertainment. So Audi was previously partnered up with Astralis, who we saw go on a tear really in the CSGO scene last year. Now they're moving that over. They like working with Refresh Entertainment. They want to continue that partnership with Astralis and the overarching organization. And now they're translating it down to the newly franchised LEC with Origin as the name here. So overall, I like it because they've already seen success in it. At the same point, yeah, John, you make up a good point there. It's going to be interesting to see that really trade over financially because Audi is such an expensive car. With that being said, though, look how much money is going into esports, John. There is quite a bit of money there, so I'm sure there are people willing to spend that price tag. Fnatic has partnered up with Champion for a Worlds 2018 commemorative sweatshirt. John, we already saw Champion start to buy in as the rights holders for many esports teams' jerseys and apparel. Now Fnatic going with them, not for the overall jersey, but going with them for this particular commemorative apparel. The sweatshirt looks great, in my opinion, going with that same font style and same color style that they had over in South Korea this past year for Worlds 2018. And on top of that, Fnatic also partnered up with Air Jordan for a custom shoe named Fnatic Crystallize, again, as a memorandum of their Worlds 2018 journey last season. Both look incredible to me, John, especially that Air Jordan shoe.
What a great move for Champion. A brand that's kind of fallen off by the wayside the last 7 years. They really had their heyday in the 90s. They kind of fell away a little bit. Now they're starting to make a name for themselves moving into esports again, and they are popping up everywhere, not just in esports, but in pop culture. You know, how many artists do you see, musical artists, perform in Champion gear? It's everywhere now. It's not just in Target. It's no longer just a bargain brand. It's really popping up again and becoming really popular. So that's really, really cool to see Champion kind of rejuvenate itself and rise from the ashes from essentially being like the Walmart brand to Walmart this Champion was to Target. Now they're really making a name for themselves again. I really feel like if they stick with the esports scene, it's gonna be great for them. But Joey, that Air Jordan, I am not a huge Nike fan. I got massive feet. I got size 13 feet and size 13 in Nikes are very expensive. But if this ever goes on sale to the public, I would love to buy a pair of Fnatic Crystallize Air Jordans. They look great. I don't know if I want to drop the Jordan price tag on it because I feel like normal Jordan's around $250 and north of that. I can only imagine what a commemorative Air Jordan would be for Fnatic and how much that would cost. But, man, that is a good-looking shoe.
Oh, yeah. I think you're probably north of $300 on this one if you ask me. I mean, there's so much detail work in that shoe. Plus, you have both logos on there. Yeah, I think that's going to be a pretty price tag, but it sure is a nice looking shoe for sure. World semifinalist Cloud9 has partnered up with Puma as their official apparel and official game day pants and shoe sponsor for the C9 LCS team. John, another great shoe here. Puma, mainly known for their participation in soccer, I feel like. Known worldwide for their soccer participation up there with Adidas and Nike. They're incredible as far as soccer shoes go. Now, again, making the dive into esports. I believe, at least to my knowledge, this is the first deal for Puma in esports.
Yeah, it's a great deal for Puma. It's a great deal for Cloud9. Something that I've always preached is if you wear it, if it's visible, if there's something that is said a lot, there's always a way you can sell it to an organization. LCS players have to wear shoes. LCS players have to wear pants. This is a great move for Puma, the now the official shoe and pant of Cloud9. That sounds absolutely ridiculous, but you want to know something? We're talking about it. People are going to go buy Puma because they are the official shoe and pant of Cloud9. You slap a Cloud9 logo on there, people are going to buy it. It's as simple as that. It's such a great move for Puma making their way into esports and a great deal for Cloud9. I mean, prior to that, you know, players could wear whatever they wanted pants-wise as long as it was black pants on stage. You know, you saw some people rock Adidas or Nike. You know, this is a way to bring your uniform all together. It's a smart move by Cloud9. It's a great move by Puma making their way into the esport market. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. And I know we've talked about gaming and esport shoes before, and we've kind of, you know, joked about it a little bit, but it's such a smart move. It wouldn't surprise me if, like, the next partnership you see is gloves. Like, oh, Cloud9 fans, protect your fingers, you know, for your keyboards. Put these Cloud9 gloves on, brought to you by whatever glove company out there. Or, you know, beanie caps brought to you by Carhartt or something like that. And it's a Carhartt beanie with a Cloud9 logo or whatever esport logo on there. If people wear it, you can slap an esport organization on it and sell it and charge it for a premium, and people are going to wear it and buy it. That's the way you got to do it. Saying it's an official game day pants still sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it's such a smart move.
I mean, it makes sense, though. I think it is a good move. But it also, I mean, they got to wear pants on stage, right? They can't come out in their Ninja-branded underwear. They got to put something
on. Oh, don't get me started on Ninja. Oh. That was such an awkward topic, talking about Ninja theme or Ninja-sponsored underwear. It's like gaming underwear, folks. It doesn't make sense. It's not going to make you better at Fortnite. It's not. Just, ugh. Yes. So players now have their Ninja underwear, their Puma pants, and their Fnatic crystallized Air Jordans. Okay, continue, Joey.
I do want to shout out, though, with Champion and Puma here in particular. I love the fact that they went out, or maybe Fnatic went out, but I feel like it was the opposite. I feel like Champion, looking to move their way into esports, they pick up some of these organizations in their arsenal. But going to Fnatic, going to a top three organization worldwide to do this, at least a top organization in Europe, if not worldwide. I feel like Fnatic is worldwide at this point. But you're going to someone who's well-known. And same thing with Puma here, going to Cloud9. You're looking at a top three team in NA, a top three North American organization. So you're going to the best to get your brand out there in esports. If you're going to enter, you might as well enter with the best. I think this is a great way to get their name out there in a new world, in a sense. So I really like this move from Puma and Champion. Other news, we have Rocket League Esports introducing a new editorial series, REL Profiles. The first profile features Karma from Splice. John, I feel like we can never get enough of profiles. Not even this punny name, profiles, in this sense, but getting to know esports players. We do it on Twitter, we do it on social media, but the fact that now we have a beautiful breakdown as far as an editorial goes from the Rocket League scene, letting us know the players more. Who are these players beyond mouse and keyboard? Who are these players beyond controller? Let's get to know their family life. Let's get to know how they came to this organization. This seems like a great way to do so, as well as get tips and play tips from the players. So overall, I really like this move from Rocket League, and I hope we continue to see more of this from other esports as well.
First off, Joey, did they come to you for the name of this series? This is a very Joey pun title here. But no, you're right. You hit the nail right on the head here. There's one thing esports does better than anyone else, traditional sports, whatever, it's the openness that the players have to their fans, their willingness to put themselves out there, to let the fans get to know them, to feel like they have that connection. whether it's watching them on stream, whether it's meet and greets at these events or wherever, or, you know, or on social media, you know, responding to fans, retweeting fans, liking fans' tweets, so on and so forth, to even editorials like this. It's so smart to do this and continue to do it, because that's the way esports is going to continue to draw people and make believers in doubters when it comes to professional esports. They're going to see the value in investing their personal time and effort into esports going forward, realizing, hey, I can have this relationship, semi-relationship with this pro player because I follow him on Twitter. I know, you know, okay, he's from California or from wherever. He likes, you know, watching anime and playing Overwatch and whatnot. You know, that makes sense. That's great. People can identify. That is the way you go. It's so smart. I absolutely love it. I can't wait for the first profile feature coming out for Karma.
Heyo, so punny there. Sticking with Rocket League, though, Rocket League players now have access to full cross-platform play. Again, this is small but significant. We already saw every console, I believe, could play with PC. PlayStation could, Nintendo Switch could, Xbox could. Now they all can play together. PlayStation has finally given in. They have moved Rocket League's crossplay to their beta cross-platform program, and now they're able to play with everyone. They can play with Xbox, Nintendo Switch, and PC. Everyone is now a big, happy family, and eventually, I believe it will be the next update coming out, cross-platform parties will be available, so you'll be able to cross-play with those PlayStation people, those Xbox people, those Nintendo Switch players, all in one happy party matchmaking online.
And really, we have no one to thank but Sony for inventing crossplay. ever since that press release came out saying they're inventing something new and groundbreaking, they've really changed the way we gamers play with our friends on other consoles. So thank you, Sony, so much for inventing crossplay and sharing it with the rest of the world. Extreme sarcasm, by the way. I think it's great for Rocket League. It's only the beginning, and I can't wait to see more crossovers between Xbox and Sony in the future.
And our first independent pro league post-HGC is well on its way as well. HGC, for those of you who do not know, is the Heroes Global Championship. Heroes of the Storm's esports scene was cut from Blizzard this past December 2018. They are now moving on with a different look. Division S, as it's branded, will be run by volunteers at Heroes Lounge. They've already raised $10,000 via crowdfunding in 52 hours, closing in on $15,000 now. All money will go to the prize pool. Again, with Heroes Lounge being all volunteers, no one is taking a paycheck from this. It is all going to the player's prize pool, a big move there. Heroes Lounge is working on securing sponsors to support the league moving forward as well. John, we saw the league come to a crumble. We saw Heroes players cut right before Christmas and the holidays. We saw all of this turmoil for the Heroes of the Storm League. Even the game development team was cut as well. Now they're making a comeback, though. Obviously not on the same scale of what we saw from the Blizzard run league, but at the same point, this is dedicated fans, dedicated players, dedicated organizations coming in, sponsoring this league, tons of funding coming in as well. Obviously $15,000 is not a huge amount, but the fact that they were able to get this started in just under a month after the whole thing turned over, and with all that doubt in everyone's mind as well, they're making it happen though. And this is a league that could potentially be around for the future if everything goes well. They know crowdfunding cannot fund it for the long term. They need organizations. They need sponsorships to buy in. But hey, $15,000 so far for the first tournament back seems like a pretty solid move here coming from Heroes Lounge and Division S.
It's so smart. And it really goes to show you the passion of the Heroes community and their fan base and the players and everyone. It was, you know, we covered it here on the podcast, Joey. It was so abrupt. It was so misleading. It was everything about the closing of the Heroes esports scene by Blizzard. Just, it reeked of something foul. And it caught a lot of people off guard. And it really irritated a very passionate fan base. This does not surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all that people came together to try to revitalize the Heroes scene. It makes sense. I applaud them for doing it. That's the way you got to go. Sometimes if you want to save a scene, you have to start from scratch. Guys, this is what esports was like in the 90s, in the late 80s, early 90s. It was a bunch of people in a hotel ballroom playing LAN parties. You know, League of Legends, Worlds, you know, Season 1. That's where it was. It was in a hotel room. It was in a hotel ballroom. Set up LAN style, for the World Championship. They weren't in 75,000 seat stadiums with multi-million dollars on the line. That's where you got to go to revitalize and rejuvenate the scene. I applaud everyone in the hero scene that's doing this. That's the way you start. You show there's still passion. You show the fire still there. You show that there's still interest. That scene will start to grow again, whether Blizzard likes it or not. I applaud them for what they're doing.
And you look at scenes like Dota 2 as well, John. Valve only sponsors the International. They're not the one doing all these other Dota major tournaments throughout the year. There's so many other tournaments that are done. And same with CSGO. Valve does not do every single one of those tournaments. You have ESL. You have tons of other things like Star Ladder. So many different organizations sponsor these tournaments. I could easily see Heroes of the Storm becoming a very similar scene to that, where you have all of these other tournaments jump up that become almost like we see with golf with the FedEx Cup points, where all of these tournaments earn you certain points for the end of the year for the top organization of the year to get a bid for a certain tournament. So I think there's still hope for Heroes. I think it hurts that the game development team has been cut, though, as well. I think that's going to plant some more seeds of doubt in people's minds. But so far, $15,000 toward a new crowdfunding pool here for a new tournament seems like a very promising move for Heroes of the Storm, at least in the short term. Sticking with Activision, another not-so-great news coming out here. We have some fraud investigation on the loose here. The latest development for Activision Blizzard is yet another scandalous one, this coming from Screen Rant. As a law firm has announced that it will be investigating claims that individuals in the company have committed securities fraud and other illegal activity. The news adds on Blizzard's woes, which have piled on in recent months. It's hard to escape the feeling that something is amiss. Again, they go on and on here. We see executives leaving. We see former employees making allegations of racist abuse. We see a ton of different things going down here in Activision Blizzard currently. Now we see a further investigation taking place, John. It just feels like things are not getting too bright for Activision in the near future. And it's so interesting because we see so many good things coming out of Overwatch League right now. Unfortunately, for other scenes like Heroes of the Storm and the company in and of itself and Activision, they're not looking so hot at the moment.
For a company that is downsizing, that went through massive layoffs, and is really kind of neglecting their core value of, you know, game first, player first, whatever that motto is for Blizzard. I'm blanking on it at the moment. It was one of those two. But for a company that's kind of moved in the opposite direction of that, why in the world, how in the world does your new CFO get a $15 million bonus? Just for being hired for the job, he got a $15 million bonus. But yet, you're saying your profits are down, you don't have the money to pay for all your developers, your software engineers, your graphic designers, your support teams. You don't have money for any of that, but $15 million? And I love the answer a lot of companies give is, oh, well, that comes from a different pool of money. That comes from a different, you know, bank account or whatever. It's a bunch of, I'm trying not to swear, Joey. It's a bunch of crap is what it really comes down to. And there is something going on here. Ever since Activision came into Blizzard and really started to have a bigger say in what Blizzard does under with their titles, everything's been going downhill. We're seeing huge names depart Blizzard that have been staples in Blizzard, developing Blizzard from its foundation all the way up to where it is today. Something isn't going right at Blizzard, and the fans, the gamers, everyone that has an interest in anything that comes from Blizzard and Activision are going to be affected by this. And this is really sad to see a legendary name like Blizzard being under investigation for fraud.
Yeah, definitely we'll have to wait and see what comes out of this, John, because the investigation is just starting, it sounds like, as of this past week. So we'll have to watch this as it develops. Sticking with Activision Blizzard, but turning the corner to something more positive, Overwatch expansion teams just got their home skins released in-game, and all of the Overwatch League teams now have their away skins released as well. You were telling me before the show, and I didn't even realize this before, that now it is a partner deal. If you buy one of these skins, home or away, you also get, or is it just home and then you get the away with it?
No, you get everything now. So when you spend your 100 Overwatch League coins, you get both home and away. If you already had the home skin from Season 1, you now automatically have the away skin. It is 100 Overwatch League tokens per pair for that team. So prime example, I just bought some Washington Justice skins. The skin I bought for Moira is both home and away for the Washington Justice. 100 tokens, 2 skins. That's an awesome deal.
Moira, not a fan of that purchaser. I like the Washington Justice move, but Moira?
I've gotten pretty good at her. I've been playing her a lot lately.
Oh, everyone can be good with her. Don't even start me with Moira.
Joey. Now you're starting, champion you're is starting OP. To sound like haters out there.
That champion is too OP. Ubisoft has abandoned Steam for the Epic Games Store with the Division 2 PC release. This is an interesting move, John. We continue to see this escalate. Discord now has a store as well. The Windows Store with promise for Xbox to redo it too. It's becoming a PC game store issue. So Steam, they cannot match the Epic Games Store, or they're at least not trying to at the current point with how much the developers make percentage-wise. Epic undercut Steam pretty significantly. Now Ubisoft and the Division 2 moving over to the exclusivity of the Epic Games Store, probably trying to buy into the Fortnite hype. Do you think this is a good move by Ubisoft?
It's a gamble. And I feel like if it does pay off, it's a huge upside for Ubisoft. I feel like if it doesn't pay off, they can always come back to Steam and be like, hey, look, we'd like to put the Division 2 back on Steam. And Steam would be crazy not to take it, especially with their profit split and, you know, a lot of the hype that's coming out from the Division 2. So, there's a lot on the line. You know, Ubisoft is going to, you know, tap into the fact that there's a ton of Fortnite players out there. But this is going to be a full price game. This is not a $20 game. This is going to be a full $60 game. It's not going to be a free Fortnite game. It's not going to attract like 300 million users a day, it feels like Fortnite has on every single platform. So it's going to be interesting. Are the same kids playing Fortnite going to be able to convince their parents for a $60 game like Division 2? That's the gamble. And I feel like Ubisoft is in a good position to make that gamble. And if it pays off, it's great for Ubisoft because of that profit split. They get a ton of money. If it doesn't pay off, it's going to be available on every other platform as well. Then I have a feeling they're going to come back. They're going to flip that switch back at Steam. It's going to be available on there as well. It's going to reopen the market to Steam players as well, to bring Division 2 to their PCs so they don't have to go to multiple different platforms to get these games. That's really what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a win-win in any case. People are going to want to play Division 2. It's definitely a gamble. I'll just leave it at that.
And I didn't look too much into the details of this. I'm not sure if it's a timed exclusive or if it's just completely exclusive to the Epic Game Store. As a PC gamer now, though, John, I feel like I have both stores downloaded anyway, so it really doesn't make too much of a difference to me. I do spend, I would say, 95% of my time in Steam over all these other stores, though.
Yeah, and that's what they're banking on. They're banking that 5% that you spend in other stores will soon grow to 10. And then with more releases, it'll grow to 20. And so on and so forth, to the point where you're spending time between all these different stores that eventually you'll become a store-specific purchaser, kind of like how everyone was a Steam buyer. You had EA launch Origin. You had Microsoft with their store and so on and so forth. The market's becoming so saturated, it's going to split the gaming community. And just kind of like, you know, exclusives we see on consoles, you're going to start seeing that for the PC scene as well. It's going to be a little bit easier because you don't have to purchase a $300 console to get that exclusive also. But that's kind of the road we're going down, is we're going to start seeing these exclusives in these stores. And who knows, maybe they start charging a monthly fee to get access to those games. I could possibly see that coming down the road. That's just pure speculation, but that would make sense.
It would, but that would definitely cut me off. I would definitely not play this game if that were the case. Yeah, it just doesn't seem worth it. I think overall it's an interesting move, though, and I think this is just the beginning of many exclusives we're going to see. I think Ashen was another one that went to the Epic Game Store and did not appear on Steam, if I remember correctly. So between this, the new Windows Store, when that gets released, EA, obviously, with Anthem coming up, that'll be on Origin. So a lot of different things to keep track of here, a lot of different moves. The friends list aspect is one that I think is going to be in particularly interesting to keep part of, because not only are you spending money, but where do I access my friends list? Does that even empower Discord more moving forward in the future? So you don't have to jump between friend lists of Blizzard, between Steam, between Activision, between EA. You're jumping all around. If I just want one continuous friends list, I think this almost empowers Discord more than the rest. Fortnite maker Epic Games gets an F in customer service from the Better Business Bureau. John, this one coming out of the Washington Post. The creator of wildly popular video game Fortnite has been given an F rating from the Better Business Bureau after failing to address hundreds of complaints from concerned customers. The BBB said that over the past year, it has received more than 270 complaints about Epic Games, which has made a fortune from Fortnite and other popular video games. Most of those complaints regarding customer service issues and problems with refunds and exchanges. John, I think if we were going to rate them as a game, they did pretty well as far as the game aspect. We would probably give them an F in esports, and apparently the Better Business Bureau giving them an F here in customer service as well.
So here's my issue. How many millions of people play Fortnite? Only 270-ish? Like, even if you say give or take 500, that's still not that many complaints. So, to me, I'm curious as to what these complaints are. I'm not going to sit here and defend Fortnite. They're making $300 million a month. You know, they can make a refund here and there. But it was probably something like, you know, oh, a kid took their parents' credit card, made a charge. Now the parents are trying to get the charge back. Obviously, they're not, they you know, Fortnite as a company, as Epic, they don't have any responsibility to refund that money. So that kind of makes sense. So I'm kind of curious as to what these complaints really are about. But really, 270 complaints in 1 year for however many millions of people playing, to me, that's a low enough percentage. It's not really going to bother me going forward. But it is kind of ironic that they did get an F from the Better Business Bureau regarding that. And I think it's kind of interesting that they even reached out to Epic, and Epic hasn't returned a phone call. I think that alone shows you their customer service, that they're really bad at returning tech support and customer inquiries and everything. So it's kind of ironic there.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, these 279 complaints are only the ones that the Better Business Bureau received.
True.
That's not including all of the ones that Epic didn't answer and then people just did not forward to the Better Business Bureau. Like me personally, it's never in the top of my mind to forward something to the BBB. So I would have been one of those complainers who maybe sent a complaint but then never forwarded it onward. 271 of those 279 complaints that the BBB received were reported and confirmed as well as issues that had not been answered. So interesting stuff here. Again, I think it comes down to the fact that Epic is making so much money already, they really could care less. It's always good to have customer support. At the same point, they're bringing in so much money, it's just not a top concern of theirs not to answer a few complaints here and there. Obviously showing here, we'll see what this F does for them. I think it's an F for Fortnite in a sense. I think Fortnite's going to continue to build more and more money regardless of what letter grades the BBB gives them. And just to put it on your radar, guys, before we wrap it up, the League of Legends competitive scene is returning. LCK and China have already kicked off, and now we have the European scene, the LEC, kicking off on Friday, January 18th, with the North American scene, the LCS, soon to follow, kicking off on Saturday, January 26th.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN. and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get exclusive access to content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at The Level Up Podcast. That is The LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming on the regular, this show and much more, at twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of The Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.